Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Traveling on the road, diners in Orlando, Miami, really manly. That has nothing to do with the conversation. I'm not the smartest guest you've ever had, but the people seem to love me. This was inappropriately close. Maybe not the ilk of Joe Biden. 3, 2, 1.
That'll hook.
Nice. Todd Pyro holding on the line here for us. Todd, how are you, buddy?
When this is officially all done,
yes.
I vow to fly down there, sneak into the studio, and smell all of your hair while closing my eyes. It's going to happen.
Your invitation has been revoked.
Yeah,
visualize it.
Trisha's going to call in sick that day.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I'm going to go full Biden. Sneak up behind you.
Hand on the shoulders.
Feel the breath on your back.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
we're doing good, man. How about you? You were up early this morning again for the morning show.
Yeah, we're doing the 4A, which is 3A for you guys. And, you know, look, I understand that may be a little bit early for the folks in your audience. But for that one person who is a Todd Patrick Pyro fan, DVR the show. I mean, that person who's always just like this call, this segment from Todd Pyro, it makes my week. Tell that person, I like to call mom, but have that person DVR Fox and Friends first at 3 a.m. St. Louis time, 4 a.m. East Coast time, and then you can play me whenever you want.
There you go. Perfect. And you still get credit for it, so that's perfect because it's on the DVR. We know how that works. That's great.
There you go.
That's great, man.
DVR is scheduled.
That's good. So you guys are all still doing the social distancing thing, right, because of the New York connection?
Yeah, you know, New York is in phase one today. There's talk of phase two in a couple weeks. But, guys, I got to be honest with you. I mean, New York, New Jersey, the tri-state area has definitely been under the gun. But my parents who live in Jersey said the shore this weekend, Jersey Shore, was a mad house. And look, we're not even at 4th of July. We're obviously still in June. And quite frankly, we're in the early part of June. If this were a normal school year, if you will, class would still be in session because schools in Jersey don't get out till the end of June normally.
Sure.
But they said it was just like the middle of August, which is when summer really gets really hardcore in Jersey. And my mom said, nobody's wearing masks. Nobody's social distancing. It is business as usual on the Jersey Shore. Now, I'm not going to form an opinion on that. I'm just going to report to the listeners of the Mark Cox Morning Show that's the way it is.
And everyone was making fun of the people at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Thank you.
And everybody was fine, right?
Yes.
Everybody was making fun of us as backwoods hicks because a bunch of people got in a pool.
Well, we might be, but that's not why.
We might be. I'm just saying.
You're right, Mark Cox. It pales in comparison to the Harvard-educated participants at the Jersey Shore. Every single one of them is Ivy League. Every single that's the requirement to go to the Jersey Shore. You have to have a very high Mensa score,
IQ test score, I've never been there.
And you have to go to the Ivy League. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that show. We know. Right. What's going on out there.
Those are classically trained actors. The Yale School of Drama.
That's funny. It's true, though. We got all kinds of grief for that. And then you see the WHO report. I know you guys have reported on it this morning. I saw Kilmeade talking about it here a few minutes ago. Coronavirus, asymptomatic spread appears to be rare, we're now told.
It's changing every day.
Hold on. I think Tricia has some audio from the
We are constantly looking at this data, and we're trying to get more information from countries to truly answer this question. It still appears to be rare that an asymptomatic individual actually transmits onward.
So why is anybody wearing a mask unless you have symptoms?
My problem with all of this is the absolutist terms with which all of this was delivered for months. I perfectly understand that this is a moving target and that this is science and there's no necessary exactness. Okay? That's fine. But don't come out and approach it as if there is. And that's what we have been told for months is, no, this will unequivocally happen if you do X, Y, and Z. This will unequivocally happen if you don't do X, Y, and Z. And that wasn't correct. What should have been done is, you know, when you go to a doctor and they give you a range of options that you can take to deal with the situation, that should have been presented to the country and to the world. It was not. And as a result, the economy tanked, I guess, albeit only for 2 months, because now you look at the stock market, which is, again, only a segment of the economy. I understand that. But all of a sudden, we're back to pre-COVID levels. The world's gone batty. I don't even know what to do.
No, I don't know what to do either. You cover these stories every day just like I do. I have the luxury of being able to get on the radio and give my opinion about it. But things are truly getting out of control when Chick-fil-A is in trouble because a photo circulated from apparently 3 years ago when they did some sort of a fundraiser for police at one of their restaurants, and it shows a Chick-fil-A employee wearing a back the blue t-shirt.
Right.
And the company's had to come out and apologize for it and try to explain why one of their restaurant franchisees supported police. That's the level of silliness we've reached in this country. It's crazy.
I mean, and that isn't even in the top 10 of stuff we're seeing this in this day and age. Again, the best thing was, and again, I really hope you're not watching CNN, was that comment on the CNN morning show. You know, what do I do if somebody's breaking into my house in the middle of the night? Yeah. And the answer, comical. I mean, that just shows how none of this was thought through. In addition, something else that shows how none of this was thought through, I believe it was Dana that pointed this out. Remember a month ago that the big negotiating position of the Democrats was, well, we're going to withhold funding for cops and the EMTs if we don't get what we want in the COVID funding bills.
Right.
In other
right.
words, cops are a big deal, so we can't withhold funding from that. A month after that, cops are the worst thing in the world. Let's defund the cops. No money for cops. Let's cancel cops.
Yeah,
it just shows none of this is thought through.
None of it is thought through. For people that didn't hear that soundbite with Allison Camerata, we've got it this morning. This is with the lady who's apparently the head of the Minneapolis board, right? She's the
board president.
She's
president.
City council, right?
City council, yeah. Here's the bite.
What if in the middle of the night, my home is broken into? Who do I call?
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors. And I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege, because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
I don't buy that argument. I don't think it's a privilege issue to believe that your taxpayer-funded call to 911 and the services they deliver is blind to color. I mean, I believe that. I'm not in every case. Obviously, the George Floyd case is an exception to that. But people in these communities that are crime-ridden, particularly in North St. Louis and other areas right here, they depend on the police to protect them.
Right. And these comments from like that woman in Minneapolis, they miss that whole point.
Yes.
And we take what we see on TV as what everybody in a particularized group wants. And that is not the case. Not the case at all. And I guarantee if you go into the cities around us, Newark, for example, in New Jersey, or even Hartford, where I heard what the mayor said. The mayor, actually, who's a Democrat mayor, happens to be a very, very good friend of mine, so I do need to disclose that.
Okay.
But he's a Democrat, and he said unequivocally on TV, in our city, when underserved communities call the cops come and help them. Those people have told me, we don't want the cops to go away.
Thank you.
I feel like at least in the city of Hartford, there is some general level of non-insanity that you're seeing in cities across the country. Now, I mean, say what you will. I know you guys aren't necessarily pulling for Sleepy Joe there. Biden came out and said, look, I don't want to defund the police either. So, you know, presumably the two candidates running for the White House in 2020 will not be defunding police departments across the country. But it is a state and local decision. It is a local decision that could require states to then come in and provide the muscle, if you will, if a city or town ends up getting rid of it.
Yeah, the big deal here in St. Louis today will be the funeral service for David Dorn. He's the police captain, retired captain, who was killed. And they finally arrested a suspect. So we at least have that now. There are at least two people have been charged in connection with that looting incident.
Grandfather. He's a grandfather of 10. Yeah,
I know.
That story and the lack of reporting. I know I'm disingenuous here because you guys had to tell me about the story last week. It was happening right as we had our call, or it had broken right around the time that we had our call. But in the week since, you read up on the case, just what a great guy this guy was, and the lack of coverage on all the other channels because it didn't fit a narrative is sickening.
Well, you bring that up, and I saw the story out this morning where they had the deadliest day in 60 years in Chicago yesterday. Now,
right.
I know that there's a big difference between what happened in the George Floyd case and violence that's connected to gangs on the south side of Chicago. But for at least a while there, during the whole COVID lockdown and everything, those numbers did drop down quite a bit. And now it's back with a vengeance. These are all things that need to be addressed all at the same time. But I don't know how they're going to do it just by changing a rule that police officers can't do chokeholds and cutting their budget in half. We're down 150 police officers in the city of St. Louis, Todd Pyro. They can't get people to apply for the job. Nobody wants it.
And that was before all this.
Yeah.
I don't think the last 2 weeks is really going to be a heavy recruiting push to be part of the blue. You know what
no,
I mean?
No.
I can't imagine an 18-year-old or 22-year-old sitting there at home thinking, you know what, this is what I want to get into. And that's sad. Because we need these individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
If we don't have these, you got to go.
No, not at all. I was just going to ask you, do you remember the Paul Wellstone funeral in 2002?
Minnesota,
yeah. Senator Paul Wellstone. Yeah.
Okay.
So he died in a plane crash about 2 weeks before the election. And they went and held a funeral for him, and a lot of, you know, Republicans, Democrats all went to this up in Minneapolis, and it devolved into this yelling match. Listen.
I am begging you, please, let the people of this state hear your voice on his behalf to keep his legacy alive and help us win this election.
This was a memorial service for Senator Paul Wellstone. I mean, it was shocking, and I remember watching it at the time. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon in the funeral services for George Floyd. I do know that Al Sharpton is one of the speakers, and Ben Crump is the other one. And I know there are 500 people who are supposed to attend. We've seen reporting on that. I don't know what to expect, but I can't imagine that. I don't know if they're going to police it or not, but I can't imagine it's not going to get political.
Yeah, but to the extent that it does get political, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to react probably as negatively as maybe people reacted to the Wellstone thing, simply because, you know, the times that we're in. And again, this is still pretty fresh. It's been 2 weeks. So, I'm curious to see what happens as well. But I have to admit that when my grandmother passed away, her funeral sounded much different.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely the case. Well, listen, my friend, we appreciate you as always, Todd. Thank you.
And remember, DVR.
DVR, and remember to watch out for some hair sniffing here when all this is over with and you come to St. Louis.
Get ready.
All right, Todd, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Todd Pyro there, at Todd Pyro on Twitter.
Get more at 971talk.com.